Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
No misery Monday when you have a bye week. In case you're curious, black hoodie, jeans, and some gray kicks.
Sweat's a black off color, honestly. Nationals pullover. Like I haven't seen many of these, but it's got the Nats insignia up here, but
yeah, it's a black pullover. Pullover with the red and white Nats curly W.
But it's very comfortable. I like it.
Looks like you're representing Walgreens.
The Walgreens, you guys. Like
Will Brinson of CBS Sports is on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Joins us regularly here on G&D. Will, every week should be a Redskins bye week. Is
so
that what it's like to be you? That was so fun yesterday.
Yeah, you just get to watch a ton of football and sit around. You're not like, I mean, it is. I mean, that's not what it's like to be me. I mean, you guys are also still, let's not forget, like, you're still floating on the cloud of a Washington Nationals World Series.
Because correct.
Yeah.
Like, everything. You guys don't realize it, but the world is actually a little bit darker than it in real life. Like, everything's a little bit brighter to you guys right now. The hues are nicer. That's not real life. That's the World Series buzz still rolling.
It's a good point.
Will, how would Joe Burrow not go first overall?
I have no clue. I he's the first overall pick, I think. I mean, like, I think Tua is really good, and I'm not trying to knock Tua. I just think, you know, there's some concerns about his durability and maybe, how he plays relative to the talent around him, and Burrow just looks like a pro prospect with a cannon arm and smart decision-making skills who strolled into Alabama and lit up a Nick Saban defense to try and set up LSU to win a national title. I mean, I get maybe there's not a long history of Heisman winners having success, or maybe now it's flipped where, you know, with Baker and Lamar and, you know, enough of guys doing well that it'll work out and Joe Burrow is likely to win the Heisman. But I just have a hard time seeing a world where he doesn't go first of all. I guess you could say that the possibility of it not happening occurs when the Bengals, who are maybe his childhood team, or maybe he's a Browns guy, I'm not sure, but the Bengals finished with the worst record in football and decide to draft Chase Young because they convinced themselves that Ryan Finley's their guy. So that could potentially be it.
That would be a lot of fun. That would be very Bengalsy to do that. Oh, but let's stay on Sundays here, Will. Who was the most disappointing team this weekend? I got a couple nominees, but I want to see what your take is.
The most disappointing team this weekend would be, oh God, there are a lot of options.
There are choices, right?
There are very many choices. I would say that the Saints qualify because, you know, they had a chance to really create some ground in the division where they laid an egg at home to the Falcons. I would say the Giants qualify because they got beat by the Jets. The Chiefs lost an embarrassing game to the Titans in a game that they definitely should have won. But I would probably either go with the Rams or, since this is Washington, D.C. radio, maybe the Cowboys, because Jason Garrett is a coward and runs the ball.
I love you, Detroit.
Good job, Will.
Good night.
This is my favorite arena to play in.
Love you, Milwaukee.
Yeah, exactly. The Cowboys, look, Dak was great. I mean, I know they lose when Ezekiel Elliott can't run the ball. The Vikings defense, for people who watch them pretty closely, is fairly fraudulent right now, and they're also pretty banged up. But if you beat them, you're going to do it by essentially outscoring them. Cowboys had a couple of shots last night and just couldn't finish.
I mean, Dak got the ball back down four after a great defensive stop. You knew that the Vikings were probably going to be a little conservative because they have, you know, Kirk Cousins. I don't know that they totally trust him in the big spots. I think they trust him enough, but they want to lean on Dalvin Cook. You knew they were going to be conservative. If you got the ball back, that you could throw on them because you've been doing it all night. Dak is carving them up. They get down the field, they're acting like they're up 3 points and Jason Garrett's running the ball, and all of a sudden it's, you know, fourth down and you have to convert. I mean, and you're squatting on three timeouts. The whole thing felt like a poorly run operation from a hyper conservative coach who over and over again is willing to take the path of least resistance despite the opportunity to win being presented directly to him in the form of a potential franchise quarterback who they're trying to give like a ton of money to this offseason. It's wild to see. And it's even wilder to see how Jerry Jones just continues to sort of, you know, shrug it off and act like it's not a big deal. I'd be freaking out if I was the owner / GM of that team and we were blowing the opportunity with this talent and this roster to potentially make a deep run.
CBS Sports, Will Brinson with us here on G&D. Let's go to the Rams, who you mentioned. You got to give some credit to the Steelers. That defense all of a sudden is playing well, and their only loss here recently was an overtime to the Ravens, but they shoved it on the Rams. I mean, that offense managed a field goal. It was a defensive touchdown and a safety, and that was it. The Rams are in trouble, Will.
Yeah, and so when we sort of look at the Rams, what we see, you know, we got a little fooled, I think, right? I mean, like, they could they could have beaten the Seahawks. Back in week five when Zierlein missed that field goal, the short field goal that he usually makes. If they do that, maybe we're looking at it slightly differently. But, you know, the team that came out and won three straight games is not the team, you know, one of those games against the Browns, one of them against a Drew Brees team that, or a Saints team where Drew Brees gets hurt and then you know, Teddy has to come in on the fly. And then right before the bye, they thump the Falcons, a terrible football team, and thump the Bengals, a terrible football team in London. And so I just think what we need to learn about the Rams is that right now their offensive line is not very good. Their defense is playing pretty well. I mean, Wade Phillips is doing a great job with that defense. But their offensive line can't protect and they can't run against good defenses. So I would think that this Sunday night against the Bears at home is not an ideal matchup for them. I think the week after that, Monday Night Football at home against the Ravens is not an ideal matchup. I bet they put up good offensive numbers against the Cardinals and Seahawks. And I just think they can be pushed over by anybody with a good pass rush or a good front four, front seven, whatever you want to call it, a good defensive front can take care of the Rams, and Jared Goff just doesn't look like the same guy. And Sean McVay, surprisingly, I think, isn't making adjustments either before the game. Like, he's not making adjustments to what he might see from a defense, and he's not making adjustments in game either. It's really surprising.
The other side of that game, I'm super impressed by the Steelers. It became popular for some reason within the last year or two to kind of bash Mike Tomlin as that team kind of regressed some. But if he's not a front runner for coach of the year with what they're doing, Rudolph in, Roethlisberger out, I don't know who is.
I agree completely. And, you know, one of the other things too, Grant, that we're bad about not doing until maybe later on, like, let's go back and look at the start to the Steelers season. Because, look, when they traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick, I mean, I was skeptical of it. They traded a future first-round pick, and they were 1-4 going to Los Angeles to play a Chargers team that, you know, we knew was dangerous, and they were featuring Duck Hodges as their quarterback. But their losses now, they lost in week one to the Patriots. No shame in that, in New England. They lost in week two at home to the Seahawks. Russell Wilson's very good. They lost Ben Roethlisberger mid-game, and there was a PI call that now would probably not be flipped. Like, that may have been the impetus for not flipping PI calls. And they lost to the 49ers the next week in a close game. They actually played the 49ers really closely, and they lost to the Ravens in a close game. I mean, this is a team with 3 one-score losses against possible playoff teams. And otherwise, you know, they manhandled the Bengals. They went on and beat the Chargers with Duck Hodges, and they take care of business against the Dolphins, Colts, and Rams. And they're doing it with defense. Minkah Fitzpatrick has turned that defense around. He's scoring touchdowns for him. T.J. Watt's playing with a tear on fire. Cam Hayward remains criminally underrated. You know, Bud Dupree's playing for a contract. It really does look like a totally different version of what we thought we'd get from the Steelers. And, yeah, I think Mike Tomlin deserves some credit because he's got this defense cooking. I just don't know. I mean, this next 3 weeks, Browns, Bengals, Browns is going to be huge, but those are winnable games. And then they have the Cardinals, Bills, and Jets. They're the number 16 in the AFC, and this team can not only challenge for a wild card spot, but they can challenge for the division still, as good as Lamar Jackson and the Ravens look.
Who do you like tonight? San Francisco favored this one, but I got this feeling that Seattle finally puts a blemish on San Francisco's record, and this division's not over with yet. What do you think?
I have a pretty hard and fast rule about not betting against Russell Wilson in primetime. I think he's 7-3-1 in primetime games. sure, maybe it's more than that. I don't know. I think it's 7-3-1 against the spread in primetime games since he got to Seattle. You'd think he'd be in more primetime games. And also Pete Carroll, I believe it's like 12-4-1 against the spread as an underdog in NFC West matchup since he took over Seattle. So I like the Seahawks in the spot. Their lack of defense concerns me. And really, more than anything, I'm worried that they might just try and run the ball, and that's what they'll do. But I thought we got a very positive sign from Brian Schottenheimer last week when, against Tampa Bay, they went pass-heavy early and often, knowing that they had to get the ball out and spread the ball around and couldn't run against a good Tampa rush D, and instead attack the weakness of the Buccaneers defense. And so hopefully they will try and do that tonight. Look, Richard Sherman, Russell Wilson, that is a matchup I want to see, because I'm not sure – I can't figure out who Sherman hates more, Pete Carroll or Russell Wilson, but I bet it's close.
Will, it's not close. You're one of our favorites, man. You're one of the best. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Thank you, dude.
Hey, anytime, guys. You guys are the best. Talk soon.
Will Brinson, CBS Sports on Grant and Danny. He says that to all the shows he goes
on. He bet you say that, but it feels good when he says it to me.
I like it when he
says
it.
I like it.
You're listening to The Fan. Who impressed you most this weekend? You could go team. You could go player. NFL Week 10. You're locked into G&D.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That was, and it was awesome.
And not to knock our experience, because it was good. It was not Miami level kind of yard bird
not
that I'm
OG.
Used to. Normally a 10 out of 10. I thought that was an 8.5 out of 10. But you've never been to the Miami one and you were blown away.
Oh, it was great. And it just, the timing was unfortunate because Dar and I had gone and waited in line at the buffet at our hotel.
Right.
And I had gorged myself to a degree that most human beings don't do comfortably. And so I wasn't starving when I got there, which is my normal MO. Going to a restaurant that I am going to be excited about, I come with just an empty, giant pit for all the food to go into. I didn't have that. So I ordered some food. I ate it. It was very good, but I couldn't do the display thing where
it's
people
delicious.
Would walk by
it's,
and look at me.
Biscuits and chicken and...
Just so correct.
Perfect.
Well, anyway, what's the update?
So here's the update. So I told you like a year and a half ago, they were supposed to be coming to D.C. I heard a lot of rumblings, a lot of things. All of a sudden, that was not happening anymore. There was no talk about it. All the stories, you know, all the things online about Yardbird coming to D.C. were just gone. They vanished.
Okay.
So yesterday, my wife and I are sitting there, and we go, whatever happened to Yardbird coming to D.C.? So I send a message. Direct message to Yardbird on Instagram.
Okay. Long
time follower of Yardbird.
You slid into their DMs, as it were. Just by the way, what a lot of guys are doing, they're finding attractive women in bikinis. They're sliding. We're looking at restaurants where we can get biscuits.
Right.
That's us.
So I said, what happened to the D.C. location? Just that. That's it. What happened to the D.C. location? The response, it's coming soon, spring 2020. They're back on track.
And that's from a source.
From
you
a
went
source.
Right to.
So I said, wow, location, question mark. And they linked me to, it's on New York Avenue.
Give me a, do you have any kind of.
I can give you the exact location.
Give it to me.
Let me pull it up.
Give it to me right now, please.
901 New York Avenue, Northwest.
Okay.
Where is that?
901 New York Avenue, Northwest Washington, D.C. That's a good spot. It's a little bit north of your Verizon Center or Capital One Arena, so to speak.
Fine.
It's that intersection where it gets a little hairy. It's like New York, it's K Street, it's all of a sudden Mass Avenue. You got to change your email, but not far from like Mount Vernon Square.
I will be there on opening day.
901 New York Ave.
By any
you.
Means necessary. Greatest restaurant in all the land.
And so I think it's going to be on the first floor of a high rise. I think there's a big set of building right there. Yeah. I used to live right down there. I live right next to Ross Detweiler and Mike Rizzo and Trevor Booker, all those guys, and me.
Trevor Booker, who's come out to talk about the Wizards back in the day recently.
Doesn't look good.
Hey, Tom, give me the Tyler Luan clip, if you would. We're going to get into things that impressed you out of the NFL this past weekend.
I loved this clip, by the way.
I guess I could qualify this as being impressive. More than anything else, I just loved it, like you did. This is before his press conference. The media all gathers around him at his locker. So they're all going to have, you know, he's their Trent Williams, except that he plays and he doesn't hate the team.
I remember he's the guy that got in Josh Norman's face and trolled him.
Yeah, he's an ultimate tool, kind of pain in the ass.
I would say generally insufferable.
Right.
Is that fair?
That's pretty fair, yeah. But this was him before he met with the media yesterday.
Before we even start this whole thing, my penalties are awful. I am 100% an issue with that. It's not intentional. I do not mean to do it. My intentions are good. I'm just trying to finish. And it's killing the team. And I know that. You guys didn't know that. No one needs to call me out or anything to say, I got it, boys. I am completely screwing the team with the amount of penalties I've had in these last, six games? It's crazy. It's horrible. I cannot get penalties. I'm sorry. There's no need to ask about it because I know I'm an absolute liability when it comes to penalties.
So good.
My favorite moment is he actually does a half pivot. Like he steps back, drops his left foot, and slants open towards the rest of the locker room going, I know, boys. I get it. And then he swings back closed to talk to the reporters again.
I got it, boys.
I got it.
He's talking to the other O-line.
So you guys don't run me under the bus. I'm doing it over here.
But his point was, fair game when he does that. Kill me if you want to in the paper. No problem. I understand. You don't need to ask me about it because here's your quote. I'm killing us. I'm a liability. The other thing is it's easier to do this after a win in some way, I think, than after a loss.
Yeah, good time for it.
But this also takes some pressure off other guys. People are now going to be talking about this, writing about this, and maybe not a mistake someone else made. It's a good leadership technique for him. Let's go to Cheese in Silver Spring. What's up, Cheese?
Hey, Cheese.
Hey, boys. Happy Monday.
Die. You too,
Happy
buddy.
Happy day after a Redskins bye week day. Don't call him Dark. Die. I haven't watched a whole lot of SNF this year. I'm planning a wedding, which is a call for another day. So I watched Snap to Snap last night, which was cool. I enjoyed watching football uninterrupted. Kyle Rudolph, where has he been? It was cool watching him last night getting some snags. He impressed me. And I know he hates the Cowboys. Everyone does, which is a good thing. The Cowboys lose. It's right. But that Amari Cooper snag, like, Dak knew for that ball 6 feet out of bounds, and he caught it with ease. That was one of the better throws that I have seen and one of the best catches that we will see for a very long time.
Yeah, so
Cooper's
Cooper
a ballerina on the sidelines,
man.
He is a technician as a route runner. He's got great hands, and he's quick. But that stuff, like him, DeAndre Hopkins, a couple of those guys, have that sideline artistry down.
You won't call it toe drag swag.
You're right. I will not.
Sideline artistry? I like that better. Amari Cooper last night, 11 for 147 and 1. Tyreek Hill had a bigger game, 157. Michael Thomas had a bigger game, 152, 13 catches. But Cooper, 147 and a touchdown on the Vikings secondary. They were without Trey Waynes, who honestly might be their top corner at this point. I don't know what happened to Xavier Rhodes. I have no idea what happened to
Xavier
Rhodes.
Remember when he was great?
He was the best corner in the league. He's not that anymore, and I think everyone knows it with that team. I mean, I don't think it's a big secret at this point if you watch them at all, but, yeah, Amari Cooper has been unbelievable since he showed up in Dallas. I couldn't believe they gave up a one to go get him. That's great evidence of if you're actually going to use a guy to the extent that they should be used, then giving up more than they're worth at the time isn't the end of the world.
Yeah, they were 500 before the trade over the last whatever sample, now 12-6 having lost last night. Dak Prescott's a different player with him.
Yes.
You know, it went from this is a check down Charlie, you could do whatever you're doing with anybody. Now they're talking about giving him all the money that's ever been given to anybody.
All right, here's what we'll do next. You get a gold medal to give to a team or a player, a silver medal and a bronze medal from yesterday.
All right. I'm going
to
figure out who I'm going to do.
We'll give those out, you get podiums, whose anthem gets played. We'll find out next on G&D.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, Danny, you got three medals to bestow. We'll start with a bronze medal for the third. Team or player that you were most impressed by this past weekend in the NFL?
In a loss, Pat Mahomes, 446 yards, three touchdowns, only got sacked a couple times, no pickles, scrambled around, made some plays, including a jump throw to buy himself a little bit more time, see over the line of scrimmage to Mecole Hardman, who ran faster than any human being I've seen, non-Olympic division in forever. That was incredible. He was amazing, 36 out of 50 for 446 and three touchdowns. Again, in a loss, he can't make any tackles. So tell me more about quarterback wins. That guy was amazing, and Kansas City should have won that game.
He was astoundingly good.
Yep.
The jump pass that you talk about, that Mecole Hardman touchdown, I'll watch it 1,000 times.
It's beautiful.
It was. There's no one else in the league that could do that. There's nobody else in this league that makes that play. My bronze medal goes to Mike Tomlin. I know I keep saying the same thing over and over again, and maybe I'm on a limb here, but I think the Steelers have been maybe the team that I've been most taken aback by since probably week three. They beat the Bengals, lost to the Ravens in overtime, and then have ripped off four in a row. Chargers, Steelers, beat the Dolphins, Colts, Rams three straight weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. No Roethlisberger and no real problem. Remember, this team lost by 30 points in week one, then lost to Seattle in week two, and couldn't do anything against San Francisco in week three. They were 0-3. They looked like they were headed for the disastrous year that leads to the firing of Mike Tomlin, and they've lost one game in a 5-1 stretch since.
Wagon circled.
I just think this is what a good coaching staff looks like, man.
Silver, for me, I was just going to go Lamar Jackson because he was transcendent and awesome and so much fun. But the Ravens had two defensive touchdowns. I know Cincinnati stinks. I'm very much aware of that. Still, they don't lose 49 to whatever the heck it was each and every week. That game could have been a 70-point game for the Ravens, but they had to call off the dogs because it was already embarrassing. They looked incredible. And remember, they had a close game with Cincinnati awkwardly a few weeks ago. This Ravens team, after beating New England, feeling itself a little bit, rightfully so. Mark Andrews a couple touchdowns. Mark Ingram a touchdown. Lamar Jackson multiple touchdowns. Defensively, they scored. They're getting healthier in the secondary with Jimmy Smith coming back. This Ravens team was really, really impressive this weekend. Special shout-out to Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
Silver medal goes to Derrick Henry, the 25-year-old tailback by way of Alabama. He went for 188 on 23 grown man carries and two touchdowns. He had a 68-yard score. Derrick Henry's good for one of these games every year.
Well, remember down the stretch last year, he had like four in a row. He was going for 150 a game.
He had a 200-yard game against Jacksonville last winter. If you remember, he went for 238 on 17 attempts and had a 99-yard touchdown in that game. But what you're talking about, that stretch, he had 238 in Week 14, 170 in Week 15, 84 and 93, respectively, in Weeks 16 and 17. But, you know, he doesn't seem like a guy that just week in and week out going to go get 20 carries for whatever reason. They don't use him that way. But he, not Ryan Tannehill, not that defense, he was the biggest reason why they beat the Kansas City Chiefs and the aforementioned Pat Mahomes yesterday. He gets my silver medal, which brings him to my gold and Lamar Jackson. You talked about the Ravens, so I'll talk about Jackson. His touchdown run yesterday is going to be on highlight reels for years and years to come. If you missed the touchdown, 47 yards, spin move, middle of the field with two defenders kind of jogging right past him in the other direction. You know my concerns. I don't need to continue to state them. We'll see what happens as they have to eventually throw the ball to win. But as long as they don't have to, this is the most fun offense to watch in this league in years and years. It's the 2012 Redskins if Robert Griffin bought in and they had more weapons in the passing game, basically. Yeah. I mean, it's just a blast to watch. Jackson, three touchdowns, perfect quarterback rating, rushed for 70.
My gold medallion, the Green Bay Packers. I think Carolina's good, and that's kind of where I'm starting this thing. I think Carolina with Kyle Allen is dynamic. They've got weapons near, McCaffrey, medium, Olsen, far, DJ Moore, and Curtis Samuel. Samuel's got a touchdown in four straight weeks. DJ Moore went for a buck 20 in this game. But Green Bay still found a way to win. And it was without Aaron Rodgers doing the Aaron Rodgers, which is get to line of scrimmage, check into a this play and that play and this look and that look, and I have to make something out of nothing where I scramble around, dance, dodge four different guys, you know, quick release across my body to a back shoulder down the sideline. This is a full, complete team now. Aaron Jones only had 13 carries. They gave Jamal Williams 13 for some reason, but three touchdowns for Aaron Jones. They can do it in a bunch of different ways now. Green Bay's defense had a stand at the end of the game. Everything about what they did to beat Carolina, who had been rolling since Cam Newton got hurt and Kyle Allen took over, and they're putting more and more on his plate, really, really impressive to me. They didn't stop Christian McCaffrey. Nobody does, right? You're still talking about, you know, 140 total yards with a touchdown. But, man, oh, man, I was really impressed with what Green Bay did in that game.
When back in the day as a kid, I was at home. Me and my dad would want to watch a movie or something like that. I would get down in front of the TV cabinet, and I would sit there, and I would pull out videos, and I would read one by one these VHS titles, and he would say, no, maybe pile. No, maybe pile. And then we'd go through the maybe pile, and there was like 11 movies, and he'd say, no, maybe pile. And then you'd whittle it down. Eventually, we'd pick a movie to watch.
That's a standard process.
I like that process. Let's play that game with the good teams in terms of record as far as the Super Bowl contender pile. No or maybe pile. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Is this team an actual Super Bowl contender? I'm assuming this will be a small pile. The Patriots?
Yes.
The Bills?
No.
I'll stop you if I disagree with anything. The Ravens?
Yes. I wouldn't have said that a few weeks ago.
I agree with you on the Ravens.
Texans, I'm going to say no.
I'll say no as well. The Chiefs?
No.
Weirdly, I'll say no right now because of their defense. So the Patriots and the Ravens are the only two teams out of the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
Cowboys?
No.
Eagles?
No.
Packers?
Yes.
Vikings?
Yes.
Saints?
This played last week. I'll say yes for
Gotta
the Saints.
Gotta be a yes for them. 49ers?
Yes.
I want to say no. Is that weird?
It's not weird.
I can't see them getting to a Super Bowl, but I'll say yes until they lose. Seahawks?
Yes.
I'm with you. I don't have any disagreements. So basically it's Seattle, San Francisco, New Orleans, Minnesota, Green Bay from the NFC. AFC, it's a lot easier. Ravens and Patriots. Teams that could win the Super Bowl as of right now. There's a Monday Night Football game we can discuss next. The Capitals also play. We'll give you a couple thoughts on the Caps, who are the best that they have ever been through 18 games. What is going so well for them? We'll opine on that in a moment on Grant and Danny on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Tonight, they have a home game against the Arizona Coyotes. For the Capitals, this is home game number 9. Team game number 19. 13-2-3 on the season. That means they've played 18 games. They've got points in 16 of them. They have never before had 29 points through 18 games. So far, they could have possibly gotten 36 points if they won every single game they played.
Well, they failed miserably in not getting all the points.
They've left 7 on the ice. That's it.
Oh, wait. They're amazing.
They are running away and hiding early on with the Metro Division as far as what you can do to start a season. But, Danny, they've just been great. Tonight, it looks like Ilya Samsonov is going to start in net. This will be his 7th game. He's essentially playing once for every 2 times Braden Holtby plays. So right now, Samsonov will be playing in his 7th game, will be making what is, I believe, his 5th start. He's 5-1, 2.38 goals against average, 915 save percentage. By way of the numbers, he's actually been their better goalie. He's been one of the more pleasant surprises. I think you got to be impressed with the season that John Carlson is off to. He's got 26 points, including 20 assists through 18 games. He's been excellent. Alex Ovechkin is on pace for 60 goals again, leading the team with 13 through these 18 contests. You know, a year ago, remember the Caps had 7 goals in their first game and 6 goals in their second game?
Yeah,
that's
right.
Off to that explosive start offensively.
They hung the banner against Boston and put up a touchdown.
So they scored through 18 games last year with that amazing start, 60 goals. They've got 74 already this season. It's crazy
that's
what they're
nuts.
Doing.
That is nuts. I mean, listen, it's the style right now that they're playing. And you could see Todd Reardon's personality kind of being implemented here. It's they're going to be aggressive. If you beat it, congratulations. You've earned your scoring chance. And they're going to be scoring chances against the Capitals. But they got a feeling that you'd rather not go punch for punch against them because they're going to put it in the back of the net more often than you are in all likelihood. They're going to go through a stretch at some point, GP. Here's a hot take. Inflammatory. Where they might go through a lull scoring-wise and maybe not rip off 29 out of 36 points as they have to this point. And that's what's going to happen. They'll lose a few games here and there where, you know, they hit a few posts or, you know, run into a hot goaltender or whatever. But, man, oh, man, they look tough to play against. They come at you in waves. They're relentless. It's a lot of fun.
2 games in all the NHL tonight. One of them, the Caps and the Coyotes. I've never really understood. People don't have a consistent thing there. Is it Coyotes or Coyotes? This goes back for me to Varsity Blues.
I hate Coyotes, just in general.
Is it the same word?
Yeah.
Some people just call Coyotes the Coyotes?
Yeah, it's like a regional thing, you know? I'm trying to think of another animal that has that, you know? But there is something. To me, it's a Coyote. It's always been a Coyote. I respect the E. I respect all the vowels. I don't like when we just gloss over vowels.
Why are we just not now acknowledging a vowel? We don't do that with other words.
Like when it's like you could picture the guy in the accents right now for the Coyotes. Like, don't talk like that guy. Talk like the guy like I talk, like I speak on the nightly news. The correct non-regional dialect version. I sound like they sound on the nightly news. Means I'm right.
Varsity
Those guys
Blues,
aren't.
They were the Coyotes.
Yeah. Don't do that. That's the Republic of Texas. Woo! Don't do that.
So they should have said Coyotes.
Coyotes to me. But it's a regional thing.
I always thought there were like 2 different names based on.
Like, they're not different animals.
No, I didn't think they were different animals.
Like, they would go, you know the cartoon character? He's opposite, what's his name, the Roadrunner? Wile E. Coyote. Like, enough of that. Get out of there.
Coyote. Wile E. Coyote. Yeah. I guess that's true. I don't know why I've always thought they were actually different words. But, no, I guess it's just you could either be correct or incorrect. So, I think J.P. Finley tweeted out today, from what I'm hearing, that Bill Callahan is going to officially make the announcement that Dwayne Haskins will be the starting quarterback against the Jets. This is what we've been planning on now for several days. This is what we've been expecting. It was reported by NFL Network last week that Dwayne Haskins would be named the starter against the Jets. Callahan, when he last spoke, though, said he wasn't ready to make that announcement. He's going to speak publicly today. I don't want to speak for you, but it sounds like what we said we think should happen is going through. They're going to name Dwayne Haskins the starter. I know some people were fearful that they could come out and say Case Keenum was getting another shot. I never really thought that was all that plausible. So give them credit. They're doing the right thing. They're going to the rookie for the remainder of the season starting today, it sounds like, starting with that press conference.
Yeah, and again, it's small. Nobody's saying we're setting the world on fire. We're not holding another parade. The Nats got one for legitimate achievement. To me, the arrow is trending up slightly for Dwayne Haskins. I'm not ready to say we've accomplished anything. We haven't arrived. We are not at we're good to go with him. But from the reports and everything that was leaked out about how disastrous he was just regular bad. It looked like the regular bad offense. I was encouraged by that. And again, the bar is infinitely lower than it should be. But again, to me, the arrow is pointing upwards. I'd like to see some growth. I'd like to see some passes that travel more than 10 yards in the air. I'd like to see something downfield. Let's see him do more things.
Yeah, his performance, honestly, up until now is irrelevant to me. I don't care if instead of zero touchdowns and four picks, he had zero touchdowns and 13 picks. Assuming that he can get in and out of the huddle, which he proved against the Bills he can do, he needs to be playing. I don't believe in this idea that he is going to somehow like crawl into the corner of the locker room and start whining and crying in the fetal position because he's struggling. I think he's a big boy. I think he could go out there like a million rookie quarterbacks before him and fail and still potentially be good after that if he's got the goods and the tools. You got to give him a chance to learn.
Now's the time, man.
Now, part of that, though, is to coach him up properly and call plays that'll help him and get him out of the pocket with some bootlegs and protect him from himself a little bit. How about throwing the ball on some first downs and taking some shots and utilizing that big arm that is, his greatest strength?
Let's not get crazy. Throwing on first down, Grant, come on.
First half, first down runs. The Redskins dead last in the NFL this year. They do it about 33% of the time. Running the ball on first down 67% of the time in the first half.
It's about rush attempts. I don't know if you know that. If you get to a certain number of attempts, you're more likely to win.
I know what is about rushing attempts.
What's that?
Averaging 8 points per game.
Yo!
That's got a little something to do with rushing.
Deal with that. Bam in your face. Those are numbers.
What'd I tell you, though? 2 touchdowns this weekend. We can talk more about it tomorrow.
You are bullish.
They're going to score. I haven't decided if I'm going to predict 20 or 17. I'm thinking it's going to be 17.
And it's 2 touchdowns.
And it's 2 touchdowns and a field goal. Maybe a short field from a turnover gets you your field goal.
3 against the Giants, 7 Patriots, 17 against the Dolphins.
Explosion.
0 against the Niners. Bad weather game, right? But so you could throw that out if you want to. 9 Vikings, 9 Bills. After the bye week, you got 17 points, which would be the high water mark
for the Jets
since week 2 against Dallas.
2 weeks to prepare for the Jets, man.
Oh, man.
Grant and Danny on The Fan. That'll do it for today's show. If you missed any part of this broadcast, go to thefandc.com/Grant and Danny. Or what?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.